David and Melanie and the kids moved to Alaska 14 months ago, and he came down to go to camp, hang out with Luke, and got a good camp week, right? That's right.
And guess what?
What's that? Oh, Camper of the Week, Charlie McCreary. All right, that's very good. That's right. Very good. Welcome, Charlie. Please tell your mom and dad and everybody we said hi. Perfect. And then the second thing I'd like to say is that our dear sister Lorna is, this is her last formal Sunday with us. She is moving back to the Sacramento area, and God has been leading you, right, Lorna? He has. And it's time to go back. So I'm going to pray. Lord, thank you for our sister Lorna. Thank you, Lord, for her love for you and her faith and trust in you. She has been an encouragement to me. And I pray, Lord, that you would bless her. Lord God, that you would open doors for her. She will want to be active in ministry and helping and doing and serving you and praying for others. And I pray, Lord, that you give her opportunity to do that. And Lord, I thank you for Charlie, who's here from Alaska. And I pray your blessing on he and his family. They mean so very much to us. God, I also pray that your word is alive. Hebrews tells us that the word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword that can literally divide between soul and spirit. That is a discerning blade. Lord, and I thank you, God, that you gave us the word of God, that you are God and you gave us your promises. You gave us the message of scripture and hope and salvation. And I pray, Lord, that we would hear the word, Holy Spirit, that you would stir in us and that we would respond to you. Father, I pray for our church, that our church would be the brightest light and the greatest reflection that it can be for Christ in Somerset and this area. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would use Vacation Bible School as a great tool to reach out. And I pray, Lord, that if some kids are deciding whether to come to VBS, that they would be here. And Lord, if any of us can be part of that invitation, that we would take it. Thank you, Lord, that like Steve said, we're looking forward to the future. We're looking forward to being with you, the redemption of our souls. And so, Lord, I just pray that you would use this time to your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I would also like to say that, you know, Mike was scurrying around up here trying to get all the internet going and all the sound and all that. Well, there are so many people who work behind the scenes for every Sunday that happens here, and I'm just grateful. It's a huge team, and people care, and people love Jesus, and they come and do that. And so thank you. Thank you. It's our security team. People are wandering outside right now, keeping watch over the flock by day in this case. Yeah. Thank you, Lord, for people who want to serve the Lord. So today I entitled this message, Why? Why? I have some questions for you to think about. Why do we send kids to camp? Why do we rejoice in the life of Bud and Cindy Dean when they shared with us last week? Why does that stir your heart? Why do we support Marcos and Carlo Dos Santos? By the way, Marcos is going to be here next week. Yeah, isn't that exciting? And Marcos and Carlo Dos Santos have been with Mercy Ships for decades. You know what they do? They take these refurbished ships that the body of Christ has given money toward so that they can be hospital ships. And they work along the west coast of Africa, going from village to village and port to port. And they go in with doctors and nurses and volunteers. And they bring people out of the villages who have terrible boils or tumors or circumstances, diseases they haven't been able to deal with. And they do surgeries on the ship. And while they're doing that, they proclaim Jesus and they say, we're here because Jesus sent us. We are volunteers. We want to help you physically, But we are coming so that you will hear about Jesus. And Marcos, who's been part of that for all of these years, is going to come and share what God is doing through mercy ships. Why do we support them? Why is Steve Panasuk passionate about Christ? Why did he and Dina spend nearly 40 years serving God? And now they're serving with us here at Pioneer Bible Church. Why did God give us, you and me, spiritual gifts? Why does the Bible speak and show and give testimony about redeemed lives? Over and over in Scripture, God gives testimony. I thought of Rahab in Jericho and Ruth that we learn about in the book of Ruth. The thief on the cross, the jailer that was there with Peter and Paul when they were in jail. Why does God show these testimonies? Why the church? Why are we here? What is our purpose? To come and enjoy some worship singing and hear a little more about Jesus? It's more than that. Why the church? Why do we invest in relationships? Why are we concerned about investing in our husband or our wife and our family and our friends and the people in the church? Why do we do that? Why prayer? Why meditation? Why memorization? Why does God call us to serve? And I just want to tell you, all this stuff, all this message is what God is doing to bring redemption to a broken world. God is a redeemer, and we are the redeemed, and God has called us. Why all these things? Because God wants to share with the world that he is the redeemer of mankind. God is real. God has called us. God is real. God made you, he loves you, he has forgiven you, and he has called us out. He has called us out. He's called us up. He's called us out of a life that was filled with sin. He's called us out of the world, and he's called us into his family, into his church. I would like to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and just read you some simple words. It says, "For the love of Christ," Paul writes, "the love of Christ compels us. Because we judge this, that one died for all." Who is that? Jesus. "Then all died, and he died for all, that those who should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again." So God is calling us out. And he's saying to us that we should no longer live for ourselves because Jesus has died on the cross and risen again. And so here we are. "Therefore, from now on," the scripture says, "we regard no one according to the flesh." I'm going to jump down to verse 18. It says, "Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation." That is, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. So we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." And then Mike made a song out of this incredible verse. It says, "For God made Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God." You guys get that message, right? It is the redemption message. It is the message that God has offered to you. It is eternally important that we respond to the redemption message. God is patient. God has warned people from the beginning. He's warning people now. He will warn people through the end. And he will invite them to put their faith and trust in Jesus so that they can be saved, they can be redeemed. And he has called us out from the world, and he has called us up to himself to be part of his church, his body. We're going to talk just a little bit about the word ekklesia. How many of you have heard that word, ekklesia? It's the word that the Bible uses for the word church. Okay, ekklesia. And ekklesia simply means to be called out of. So we are called out of the world and we're called into him. And God calls us the church. And you know, when God calls us the church, he calls us the church and he says, we are Christ's body on the earth. We represent Christ. We reflect Christ. We live for Christ. We are the salt of Christ. We represent Jesus to a lost and broken world. Matthew chapter 16. I'd like to talk about the church just a little bit more. And it's going to be up on the screen. Matthew chapter 16. You guys have heard this so many times. In fact, Mike, we sang about it this morning. I was so excited to see that was part of one of your songs. It says, so Jesus, by the way, Jesus is asking you who he is and what you believe. And Jesus says to the disciples, you guys, what's the word out on the street? Who do people say that I am? By the way, people are thinking about that now. And people are making speculation. Who is Jesus? Who are all those people down at Pioneer Bible Church? And why do they go in there and sing songs on Sunday? Who is this Christ? When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that the Son of Man is? Jesus was kind of pointing to himself. Who do people say that I am? They said to him, well, some say you're John the Baptist. You remember what happened to John the Baptist? Yeah, he was killed. And now they think maybe John the Baptist came back. So they're speculating. Maybe that's it. Some say John the Baptist. Some say you're Elijah, the Old Testament prophet resurrected. Others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And Jesus said to them, but who do you say that I am? And by the way, that's the question you have to answer. Who do you believe Jesus is? Simon Peter answered and said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And when he says, you're the Christ, you're the Redeemer, you're the Messiah, you are God who came in flesh, and you're the one who came to give salvation to people. That's who I say you are, Peter says. You're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, that's his name, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who's in heaven. So who taught Peter that Jesus was the Son of God? The Father. He says, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. By the way, if you believe in Jesus today, it's because the Father has revealed that to you. Not because I've spoken it, not because anything fleshly has happened. It's because God has touched your soul and drawn you to him, John 6 says, and you have believed and put your faith and trust in God. Jesus says to Peter, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. By the way, if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, it is a gift of the Father that you believe that. That's cool. That God has taught you that and drawn you to himself. It goes on, it says, verse 18, and I also say to you that you are Peter, which is the word stone, and on this rock, and I've learned that those are two different words. Peter is Petros, and rock is a different word, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I want to say two things about that verse. It says, I say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock. Many people have mistakenly said and mistakenly believed that it was upon Peter that the church would be built, that Peter would be the patriarch of faith. And what Jesus is saying is, upon the truth, Peter, that you have spoken, when Jesus said, who am I? And Peter said, you are the Son of the living God. You are God in the flesh here, the Savior of the world. Jesus says, upon that truth, upon that rock, I will build my church. And that's what we stand for as Pioneer Bible Church, the truth of who God is and what Christ has done. And then it continues. It says, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, shall not overcome it, shall not subdue it, shall not render it incapable. By the way, it doesn't say that we won't endure persecution or that we won't endure tribulation or trouble, but Satan will not overcome it. By the way, that tells us that we're in a battle. Have you felt that battle? I have. Yeah. And Satan wants to discourage us. He wants to dissuade you from believing in the Son of God. And Jesus says to Peter, what a great word of encouragement. The gates of hell will not prevail against this truth, Peter. Praise God for that. Okay? So then it says, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Then he commanded his disciples that they should tell no one that Jesus is the Christ. And that's a point in time. I'm not going to preach about that, but it wasn't quite time for Jesus to be raised up in popularity. He was presenting the gospel, and the disciples were going to go out and teach it. So let's continue. So why does God do all these things, and why do we participate? Because God is the Redeemer, and we have a redemption message to share. You know, there will be some kids here tonight at VBS who probably have never heard the gospel. Maybe they have grown up in homes that Jesus hasn't been a part of their lives, that church has not been a part of their lives. You know, a lot of you have had a praying grandmother or a praying grandfather, people in your past who have prayed for you, maybe a praying friend who has been praying for you. Well, I'll tell you what, people need to be redeemed for now and for eternity. So again, God is real, and God has made you, and God loves you and has forgiven you, and God has called us out, and he calls us the church. In Ephesians 1:22, it says, and he, I think this one might be on the screen too, I don't know. I didn't print out a copy of my PowerPoint today, so... Not there? Okay. Ephesians 1:22, and he, God the Father, put all things under his, Jesus' feet, and gave Jesus Christ to be the head over all things to the church. Just listen to these words, okay? Here's what I want to establish for us. Pioneer Bible Church is a building on Mount Ockham Road. That's what we call this place, Pioneer Bible Church. But you, as the people of God who have received Christ, are the church. And Paul, as he's writing to the people at Ephesus, he says this, God has put all things under Jesus' feet and gave him, Jesus, to be the head over all things to the church. So Jesus is the head over all things to the church. The church is his body, the fullness of Christ who fills all in all. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14 through 16, let me just turn there and read to you. 1 Timothy 3. Paul writes to Timothy, these things I write to you, though I hope to come to you shortly, but if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And then he goes on to speak about that even further with this cool little verse in the next slide. So we are God's church. We are the called out ones. We're the true church, and the true church is composed of those who are called by God, not only outwardly, but inwardly by the Holy Spirit. So here's what God does. He calls us to himself, to belong to him, to follow him, to learn from him, to learn of him, to believe, to trust, and surrender. So he calls us to himself for his purpose, to reflect him to the world. That's really our call. So here's what I'd like to do now in transition in this message. What's on my heart are this, that God has called us to be a powerhouse of God's message, God's love, and his purpose. And my question to myself and all of us is, how can we be the strongest church to be able to do that? And there are two things that I would like to say to you. One of them you are doing right now. Okay? One of the things that makes us strong in Christ, you are doing right now. And that is simply by being part of the body and coming to church. I've quoted it so many times, but Hebrews 10:24 says, "Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but come together all the more as you see the day approaching." And so I want to talk about just being in the church, being in the body, how important that is. And then the second thing is, I'm just going to simply mention this name, and that is that I believe God wants us to be involved with each other's lives like the scripture shows. And one of those ways that we have tried to offer over the last few years is in a simple thing called home groups. God calling us to work alongside each other and be with each other. Entering into this thought, we need to gather with other believers. Why we need to gather in church and home groups. These are just simple. Just see if you agree with these statements, okay? The first one, we love God. There's no doubt about that. You love God. You're saved and you're happy that you're saved, right? You love God, but often we're isolated. We are often isolated. However, we want to be the most effective for Christ that we can be, right? And if you live in Somerset or the surrounding area, you know, it used to be a joke a long time ago that people moved to Somerset to be alone. They moved to Somerset to be isolated. They moved to Somerset so they wouldn't have to put up with neighbors anymore. Have you ever heard that? Yeah, okay. People like being isolated. There's something about that. But God's called us to a different kind of life. So we love God, but we're often isolated. Yet I know that we as a church want to be as effective as we can be. Number two, or B, we are all busy and preoccupied. Does that ring true for any of you? We are busy and preoccupied, yet we know the value of Christ's body. And that's true. You know the value of Christ's body. Think of a time when you were discouraged or in despair, and someone came along who knew Jesus, and maybe they just loved you. Maybe they just put their arm around you, or maybe they said a word of encouragement to you, or maybe they brought you a meal, or maybe they did something unexpected that blessed you. Happened to me on Friday. A group of people did something that blessed me. All right, so you got this statement, we are all busy and preoccupied, yet we know the value of Christ's body. And the third one, though in our flesh we tend to be independent. Can you relate to that? In the spirit, we are called to interdependence. Okay? So though in our flesh we tend to be independent. People hurt themselves when they're independent. They pick up stuff they shouldn't pick up. Right? They move stuff they shouldn't move because they're too proud, stubborn, to call on somebody else to help them. And I think Satan has sold us a bunch of lies and says, you know what? You're just going to be trouble to those people if you call them. Right? Don't we feel that? I don't want to trouble my neighbors. I don't want to trouble those people at church. I don't want to trouble them because if I ask for help, and then it looks like you're weak, right? Looks like you're weak, like you can't handle all the responsibilities in life. Well, yeah, that's the world's way, but God says, I want you to be interdependent, not just in the church, but in our lives together. So a couple of scriptures, if we can go to that mic, see if the Colossians 3 passage is there. So in Colossians 3, I'm just going to stand to the side and read this. Just follow along. It says, therefore, as the elect of God, and that's you, because if you've chosen to follow Jesus, you're elect in Christ. As the elect of God, you're holy and you're beloved. So put on tender, by the way, think about who these actions are toward. Okay? Who are we supposed to act like this toward? It says, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. And if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. And above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of Christ, of God, rule in your hearts, to which you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making grace in your hearts to the Lord. So I just kind of broke that down, and I'm going to say these words. So in Colossians 3, when we're talking about the body and we're talking about interdependence amongst each other, these are the things. First of all, choose to let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Second thing, teach and admonish one another in all wisdom. So we need opportunities to do this. We need opportunities to teach and admonish one another in all wisdom. That happens how? It happens in relationships. It happens in, you know what's cool is small groups are not just home groups. William teaches a Sunday school class, and Steve teaches a Sunday school class, and Jay teaches a Sunday school class, and I teach a Sunday school class, and all of our children's ministry teaches Sunday school classes. So those are groups of people who are gathered to work as and work out as the body of Christ these truths that we see in Scripture. And then we have home groups that have been active. Those are kind of diminishing right now. There's some that are still going. I'm going to really encourage us. In fact, at the end, let me tell you now, I would like for you to think about your home being open to having a group of people from our church come and meet in your house sometime and gather together a couple of times a month, one time a month, four times a month, where people would gather together and be able to do this kind of thing. Colossians says, teach and admonish one another in all wisdom. And then the third thing I like to observe is it says singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And the idea is be singing. And what are people singing? What do the people of God sing? They sing psalms, which is a lot about the faithfulness of God. Psalms and hymns, truth about God in his word, and spiritual songs. So you got people teaching each other and admonishing each other, people coming alongside, singing hymns and songs and spiritual songs, and then it says, with thanksgiving. So God is calling us to have an attitude of thankfulness, that he is God, that he has saved me, and that he's helping me in the stuff that's going on in life. Okay? How can we be interdependent, and how can we know each other and know each other's needs if we don't spend time together? How many of you have had the privilege to be in some kind of a Sunday school or small group through the years? Okay. Have you found it helpful to sit with others and open the word and pray for each other? Yes? Yep. For us to be the strongest that we can be, the best reflection of Jesus, the light and salt of Christ in this world, God says that we need to not forsake gathering together. Ephesians chapter 2 is another scripture we'll just take a quick look at. Ephesians 2 says this, now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. So you have a new team that you're on. You're no longer aliens and strangers, lost people out there in the world. Now you're part of what? The household of God. That is an incredibly privileged and a joy for us to be in that place. We are part of the household of God. And then verse 20, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. So we have this truth of Scripture teaching us that we are the body of Christ, and God wants to use this place. God wants to use our lives. The last scripture is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and I don't think this one's on the slide, Mike, but it just simply says, therefore, encourage one another. And we need that. We need encouragement in our faith. Encourage one another. You know, for centuries, God's people have gathered and been instructed in the Word. There are examples in Scripture. I'm just going to read to you from the book of Acts, chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 is Peter's message, and in verse 38 it says this, then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. It says, and then with many other signs, he testified and exhorted them, and he said, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and on that day about 3,000 were added to them. Okay, so here's what happened. People were lost, and they heard the message of Christ, and they were saved. You're in that bunch if you've received Jesus as Savior. Then they were baptized. And then it says, verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. So they continued in what the Bible taught. They had all the Old Testament scriptures at that point. They continued in fellowship. That's what we're doing right here. By the way, you know, when we get up and we talk to each other, everybody always laughs, you know, we could just keep talking forever. That's fellowship. That's part of our fellowship, our getting to know one another, our networking together. You know, some of you, when we stand up and talk, you're talking about stuff coming up in the future. And you're finding that person saying, you know what, would you help me with so-and-so? Or you're telling people about what happened. You know what you guys talk about, yeah. Right? So it says the people continued in God's truth, the doctrine, and they continued in fellowship, and that's a caring for one another. When we stand up and talk, maybe we ask each other, how are you doing? How did that thing go that you were dealing with? How are you feeling? And we're asking people about each other. Those are really God-given important qualities. And then he says, in the breaking of bread and in prayers, you got people gathering together to eat together. Is that fun? Yeah, the third Sunday, we're going to have a potluck. And that's just a good time. Thanks to all the people who bring food, and thanks to the people who help serve the food and get things cleaned up. But people are breaking bread together, and they're praying together. Interesting, right after our potluck, what do we usually try to gather and do? Pray for each other. Pray for the church. Pray for the effectiveness of our reflective work of Jesus in this community. And then it goes on to talk about how the people were together in that church. So, really simple. You know what? I want, for the ministry that I'm part of, the ministry that you're part of, to be as effective in this VBS as we can be. I want us to be as effective in our senior luncheon as we can be. The people are there and encouraged. We're going to do a baptism in September. We're going to have all these different events. And to do that, God says, come together and be encouraged. I love the singing time that we do in church. I love the fellowship and the teaching that we have during our Sunday school time. I would encourage you, during the 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock hour, we have Bible studies. Maybe God has put it on your heart to teach a Bible study. Come and talk to us. I would say, come at 9 o'clock if you can. Come be part of a group of people that can gather together and talk over the Word of God. And secondly, I am calling you to be interested and be part of and open your home to a home group sometime during the week where you can gather with people that have gathered maybe over like interest or like age or like neighborhood, and you can gather together and pray for one another. The cool part is that God exponentially blesses the things He instructs us to do. God exponentially blesses the things He calls us to and to be part of in His kingdom. So, just step one, two, and three. It's not on here. This is the first thing I'd like us to consider. First of all, just to admit our need to obey Christ and our need for each other. So I have a question for you. Do you think you need the people that are sitting around you right now? I do. I was so glad to see Jane and Jack back again this morning. You guys were missed. It's good when we come together. So admit that we need to obey Christ and our need for each other. Secondly, I just want to acknowledge that we've had some valuable small group things that have happened at Pioneer Bible Church. Also, we need to give a fresh opportunity for us to get into new caring groups. So now the second thing, I'm asking you to volunteer your home as a gathering place. So right now, I'd just like for you to think about, could my home be used as a place for some Christian people to gather on a regular basis so they could be in the Word and in prayer and build in fellowship and strengthen each other? Okay? I'd like for you to talk to me and say, our home is available. We would be willing to host something like that. Okay? Think about that. And along with that, we're asking some of you to organize and invite and include and schedule and then work together with a group of people that could meet in your home. Okay? So all of that is step two. First of all, acknowledge that we need each other. And secondly, that you be willing to open your home for people to meet in your house. And then the third thing, be committed to God's purpose for gathering, knowing that as you follow God in this, you are opening yourself up to blessing, help, and friendship. As you open your home and you participate, you know, every one of us could think, man, I am so busy. I have got every night of my week scheduled. The next little thing I wrote down, there is a cost to do this. There is a cost. And by the way, relationship with other people can be messy. When you spend more time with people, you really have the time both to bless and maybe offend other people. And so you know what? God has called us up to say, you know what? When somebody gets offended, what is the next step if you offend somebody? Yeah. Take responsibility and apologize. Make it right between you and the other person. So there is a cost to the people gathering together because in our humanity, we can offend one another. But investment leads to blessing. Obedience leads to blessing and to strength and help and care and significance. You know what? As we get involved and we volunteer our homes and we volunteer to spend time with other people, you'll be now caring about others. You'll be having a significant role in another person's life. Have you guys found that in your home group? I see Janet nodding her head. But faithfully, they've been meeting, opening their home for a home group. So we're going to unfold this more, but that's what I want to give with you today, is that to be the greatest reflection of Christ in our community of Somerset, God has called us at least to these two things. He has called us to gather as a church, to worship, to learn, to fellowship together, to hold each other up. And I believe, and it has been on many people's hearts here, not just mine, that we need to have an offering of new home groups so people can meet together and they can meet more people and be able to understand the needs to love one another, pray for one another, support one another, care for one another. So I'd like to ask the worship team to come back up. And by the way, when Peter said to Jesus, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said back to him, "Peter, upon this truth, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail over it." Let me tell you something. I do not want to be less effective. I don't want the gates of hell to take shots at us, though he will. But God has promised that he will strengthen the church, and he challenges us, be with each other, be in each other's homes, care for each other, support each other, encourage each other, and on and on and on. As Mike and the team lead us in a song of worship, I just want to say that we have made this last few moments of our worship service a time to pray for each other. Maybe you have something you would like to be prayed for. Maybe you came today with some burdens on your heart and you'd like somebody to pray for you. I'd love to pray for you. There are a number of people here that will come forward and pray for you. Let's bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. So if you have never chosen to ask Jesus as your Savior, come talk to me. Talk to one of us about that. If you have a burden on your heart that you'd like to pray for and you just want to share it with somebody and have some prayer, come and we'll pray together. We'll do that during the song and even after the song as we begin to leave. Let's stand and sing together.
So Jim talked about us being redeemed and that we have a Redeemer. And you know what? Our Redeemer lives.
His blood has covered my sin, I believe. I believe. My shame he's taken away. My pain is healed in his name, I believe. I believe. I'll raise a banner. My Redeemer lives. My Redeemer.
Amen. Our Redeemer lives. Let's pray. God, thank you for the privilege to be here. Thank you, Lord, that you have called us out. We are called out. We're the church, and we're called up to walk with you and serve you and give our lives. And God, thank you that you've called us into the family of Christ. Father, I pray that you would bless people as they simply obey you in caring for and loving one another and serving one another and lifting each other up. And God, I thank you for VBS tonight. I pray that you would put it on the hearts of parents and kids that they want to come to be here. I pray, Lord, that you bless the speakers and those who are doing music and food and games, and pray you bless the time and that we would pray over these people. God, thank you that you have called us to be saved. We are rich because of that in Christ by grace. Bless each person as they go. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.